Bill usually does when he's sick, so he's not.
Good
morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and open up the Senate Committee on Judiciary. Good morning to all. We have three bills that are currently scheduled for work session today. I will give a notice now that one of my committee members has asked that we carry over 3450A because they have an amendment that's not ready. I'm not familiar with the amendments, and so at this point we'll go ahead and just carry that over. And let's see, Bill, when's your next day?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Committee, Wednesday.
Senator Dingfelder, do you think whatever you have should be back by then?
Hopefully.
Why don't we go ahead and carry it over till Wednesday? So 3450 will be carried over until Wednesday, which would be the 18th of May. And we'll see if that stuff's back. And with that, we're going to go ahead and open up our first work session on House Bill 2928A.
Mr. Chairman, of the committee, House Bill 2928A comes to you from Representative Holy. Cross-references into the Family Abuse Prevention Act, which sets forth when a party or witness to a civil proceeding may or may not testify before a court by electronic communication, requires a court in exercising its discretion to allow testimony by motion filed less than 30 days prior to the hearing to consider the expedited nature of the FAPA proceeding, in addition to considering the factors allowing electronic testimony set forth in RS 45-400 that are applicable to all civil proceedings. House Bill 2928 allows the court in FAPA proceedings to consider the safety and welfare of a party or witness if testimony required in person.
All right. Senator Cruz, I know that you had some questions about it earlier regarding, and I think Senator Wissett too, maybe on the application of this as to whether it was setting new, new law. And my understanding is basically it's just setting new criteria that's already existing, meaning the hearings already can occur in by telephone, but the judge should take in consideration, I think, two other criteria, which I think some of us talked about maybe being somewhat obvious, thinking they may have already be doing it, but apparently it's not explicitly in the statute. So are we ready to open a work session on that, or a motion, I should say?
For the record, Mr. Chair, I think you're right that it's probably clarifying a factor already considered, but I do think the filing less than 30 days prior is new, but I'm not sure I have a problem with that either. So,
okay.
It was my understanding that the court already has the ability, and I'm doing my James Earl Jones imitation this morning.
Very good.
It's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yes. You should have heard me earlier when I was squawking. It's my understanding that the court already has the discretion to do a follow-up hearing or a hearing by telephone later. That all this does is change the time of filing and directs the judge that they can do what they can already do. Is that essentially right?
I would say that's correct, but it does explicitly clarify that the court can and shall take into consideration those two criteria that isn't explicitly written, but I think most of us would think that they would be taking that in consideration now, but this makes it clear for everyone to know that those are factors to be considered.
My concern is that at some point in time that, and I think I'll support the bill, but my concern is that at some point in time the accused needs to have the ability to face their accuser and for the court to determine the credibility of the accuser and to cross-examine the accuser and so forth. Mm-hmm. And in this situation by telephone, I suppose you can ask them questions, but you really don't see body language, you really don't see evasive responses and so forth. So it's a little bit troubling to me that I understand the purpose of trying to protect the petitioner, and I think that's a laudable deal. But, looking from the other side of it, you have somebody who's vindictive, you might be able to not only exclude them from their home forever, but also exclude them from their children for most of their life. So.
No, I think that's fair. I guess the one thing that we probably should maintain on the record is that the judge is not required to do the telephonic hearings. They do have the option to require all of the parties to appear at any given time during these proceedings. But I note your concern in making certain that we don't find ourselves, let's say, litigating by telephone alone when you have testimony that can be measured by people's actual appearance and their conduct while they're on the stand.
Mr. Chair, I'd just also say that from the perspective of the court, the ability to be confronted by your accuser is a pretty high bar. And so I think it would have to be clear and distinct before the court's going to allow that to not happen. So
that's in Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to add for the discussion and for the record, a couple weeks ago during one of our in-district days, I visited the Gateway Center for Domestic Violence that is just on the border of my district and got to visit a room where this type of communication occurs because of the concern that some of the victims feel intimidated and don't feel comfortable appearing in court, you know, with their with the person that has been accused or the accuser. The state-of-the-art technology that is available today is two-way video conferencing. So in addressing the concern that Senator Whitsitt raised about not being able to see their body language and everything, I think more and more they're going to the video conferencing versus just use of the telephone. And wanted to make sure that stated for the record because it does say or a witness by telephone or other two-way electronic communication device, and I think that probably we're going to see more and more the teleconferencing. And it was set up, actually almost looked like a court, you know, very official setup. And this is state-of-the-art technology, but I think we're going to see more and more of that. So certainly hear what your concern is, but wanted to say that there are some new technologies being used, I think, more and more today, where the judge could actually see the the party, the accuser, so it's not just via telephone.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2928A to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Cruz moves House Bill 2928A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And would anyone like to volunteer? Senator Dingfelder will be our carrier on 2829. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2928, and we'll open up our work session on House Bill 3286A.
Mr. Chairman, the committee, House Bill 3286A allows the Department of Corrections to charge and collect a fee for serving process other documents to inmates and employees of the Department of Corrections. Limits the fee the department may charge to that a sheriff would charge for service of process.
All right, and colleagues, this is another one that we had some, let's say, ongoing discussions regarding the bill and the merits, and Chair would entertain a motion if we're ready to go forward.
For the sake of going forward, Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 3286A to the floor. With the due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Cruz moves House Bill 3286A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussions? First, Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you. It would seem that this is either the Department of Corrections would receive the fee or a sheriff would receive the fee. I find it some strange that if there's 2,000 services per biennium and the DOC wants to serve their own processes and establish a fee, it would seem that it would reduce that that process fee by for the sheriffs by the same amount. I don't see that in the fiscal.
What I remember in council,
they testified. I believe, at least I have my notes here. They testified that it would be either or.
Equal or no greater.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So either the sheriff would serve, either the sheriff would charge a fee, or the Department of Corrections would charge a fee. but not both of them are charging.
That's correct.
And then we also heard from, I believe I recall that the indication was that then if the Department of Correction was not allowed to serve the process, they would require the sheriff to go into the prison and or to the facility and hand-deliver the thing rather than having one of their staff do it. And I question whether that would be any savings, because I rather doubt if they would allow even an armed sheriff to walk into the facility without somebody accompanying them.
Well, they wouldn't actually go in there armed. What they'd more than likely do is bring the inmate to them, and the service would probably occur at the same building as the person walked in the door to institute service.
Seems to me this. I mean, I think I'm not going to support this bill today because it seems to me it's simply a cost shift. It is it looks like a revenue a way for the Department of Correction to raise revenue. I don't buy their problem.
Right, I understand. And I would agree that I believe from what I heard from the testimony was that the Department of Corrections felt that they should be able to charge the fee if they were supposed to actually, let's say, complete the service, and if someone else, such as the sheriff, was going to be doing it, that they should not necessarily be on the hook to actually make the delivery on behalf of the process server, which could be private or it could be the sheriff's office. All right, any other comments? I know you've already made a motion on it.
I made the motion.
You had some comments I think you wanted.
I'm not sure. Senator Witz's concerns, I think, are valid. Somehow this just doesn't feel right to me. I just don't think at this point, I can't support it. I just haven't got my hands around what problem this is trying to fix. Other than if indeed it's NDOC looking for ways to enhance revenue and...
I guess, you know, what I would say, I think that's a perspective that they are, quote unquote, wanting to enhance revenue as much, I think, as you could also say it's a means of offsetting their cost that they have been absorbing, where they at this point feel because of the constraints that they have on demands for their employees that maybe this is something that now they need to try to recoup for their time. That's all I could, you know, think would be part of it. So with that, we have a motion before us, and those objecting, I believe, are Senator Wissett and Senator Cruz. Is anyone else objecting at this point? Then motion carries. The chair will be the carrier on 3286A. And as I said at the beginning of the meeting, House Bill 34, and we'll close that work session on 3286A, and the work session for House Bill 3450 will be carried over until this Wednesday, May 18th.
Mr. Chair, would it be inappropriate to ask Senator Dingfelder what her amendment is intended to do?
Nope. Do you want to share as to what
I'd rather wait until I have it, but it would address a concern about it would address the problem without completely changing the 2-week period.
Alternative, I think, to waiving the 2 weeks instead of going to 72 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But as soon as we get it, we'll share it with
you. Okay.
Yeah, and if you can get it to Bill, that way he can get it on the drive and get it to all of us, that'd be great. All right, any other questions or concerns? All right, tomorrow we're set to start at 8:30, and with that, we're adjourned for the day. Thank you.